Kuta Sichas Chelik Yudzayin, Parsha Shmini, Sicha Aleph, is a summary of the Sicha. We know that the Torah is divided into 53 Sedras. Each Sedra has a name and therefore has a theme. Why is a Sedra? There are many different Parshias or subjects which are discussed in the same Sedra, but they all come under the name of that Sedra, because all the parshas in that Sedra share a certain theme. And since the name of everything in Lashon Kodesh is what brings the chayis, is what defines that theme, therefore the theme of this week's parsha, which is called Shmini, can be understood from the name Shmini. And anything found in Parsha Shmini is somehow related. Even something at the very end of the parsha, like Zeis HaChaya, which talks about the kosher and non-kosher animals, that is somehow also related to the idea of Shmini. On the other hand, when there are two separate Sedras, and the concluding parsha discussion in the previous Sedra, and the new Sedra, which continues a discussion sometimes from previous Sedra, those two particular specific subjects are related to each other. As we know that within Torah, we do look at what is written next to each other to see the relationship between them. So whatever is in the end of Parsha Tzav and the beginning of Parsha Shmini are related on a personal level, but they're not connected under the theme of Shmini. But then there is the other things which are found in Shmini, even at the very end of Shmini, are related under the theme of Shmini. So we'll understand this from understanding what the name Shmini represents. What does the word Shmini mean? Shmini means the eighth. And in the name Shmini, it doesn't indicate that it's the eighth day or the eighth day of Miluyim, of the inauguration of the Mishkan. It simply expresses the word Shmini, which means the eighth. In the word the eighth, we find two opposite ideas. On the one hand, Shmini, we know, represents something which is beyond the cycle of creation. The creation was created in such a way that it's a seven-day cycle. The number seven is found continuously in creation. And not only the creation itself, the physical world, but also the godly energy that animates the creation, that creates and animates the creation, is also represented by the number seven. It also has this general limitation of seven. And Shmini represents that which is beyond creation, above creation. On the other hand, when you say the eighth, it means that it's not completely separate from the seven. It comes from the seven, which now it's the eighth. So in other words, it is somehow related to the seven. So there, it seems contradictory. So we have to understand what that means. And what it means is that the word Shmini represents the idea that the ultimate purpose of something which transcends the world, the godliness that transcends the world, is that it has to make its way into the world and transform the world so that it now is a continuation of seven of the world. It's connected to the world because it integrated itself into the world, even though it comes from beyond the world. We find that it says that in the time of Mashiach will be the kinnor, the harp that is played in the Beis Hamikdash, will have eight strings, as opposed to the one that was in the time of the Beis Hamikdash earlier was only seven strings. What is the representation of these eight strings? It means the same thing. It's the godliness which comes down in the time of Mashiach, which is something from outside the world. But it says the nigla kveda shehavaya. The glory of Hashem will be revealed and all flesh will see. That's written in regards to the time of Mashiach. So what does it mean that the physical eye will see? That in the time of Mashiach it will be an expected reality, that the physical eye is able to perceive godliness, just like the eye now can see physical things, and nobody marvels. It's not something unusual and unexpected. It's very expected. The eye sees. So also in the time of Mashiach, it won't be something unusual. It won't be a chiddush. It will be the expected, the simple reality that the eye is able to see godliness. And that's what it means, the eighth, that although it is godliness is not really something that today we can normally perceive with our physical eye. So in other words, it's something that is transcends the physical reality, but it will become part of the creation that even the physical eye will be able to see it, so that the eighth will follow forth from the seven. But the question still has to be asked, that since when we say that the world cannot perceive godliness right now, what is the reason for that? It's because the world was created with that nature. The word Olam, which in other words the word of the name of something, the name for the world, which is Olam, and the name of something represents what its theme is, what it really is, means concealment. In other words, that the world was created with the intent that it should be a place of concealment. So what does it mean that in the world itself we'll be able to perceive godliness? So then it's not in the world anymore. Then it's something beyond the world. So how do you bring those two together, that the world which is meant to conceal should now perceive godliness? So this can be explained by explaining something that the Alter Rebbe says. The Alter Rebbe says that those revelations which will take place in the time of Mashiach come as a result of our Aveda, our mitzvahs, and Torah and mitzvahs, kol zman meshach ha-golos, during the golos. The question is, what is accomplished that it has to be dafka through golos? If it's because mitzvahs bring down godliness into the world, then what's the difference when those mitzvahs are done, whether they're done in golos or they're done during the time of Mashiach, of the bayis of the Beis HaMikdash? What is accomplished by Kol's Meshach's Mana Golos that makes it so different? So the explanation is, what we want to accomplish through mitzvahs, that there should be a revelation of godliness into the world, which will be understood and seen and revealed in the time of Mashiach. What that means is not that we should superimpose a new reality onto the world. The world rejects godliness. The world conceals godliness, but there will be such a bright revelation of godliness that it will even somehow get into the world. The real purpose is that the world should accommodate godliness. That's the whole point. That the world, that the revelation that takes place should be within the reality of the world, not something additional and superimposed upon the reality of the world. But how do we work these two things together, that it should be concealment and revelation at the same time? So when we realize that the whole purpose of the creation is Bishul HaTorah, Bishul Yisrael, in order for the Yidden to perform mitzvahs, and therefore that's the real purpose of the world. And the world, the ultimate concealment of the world is in order to bring out a greater revelation, because we know that that when there is a greater concealment, that leads to a greater revelation, as we see from a mashal that the brain is able to impose its will more easily on the bottom of the foot, so that the foot should walk whenever the brain dictates, more so than, let's say, to dictate what feelings you should have. So in other words, the more concealment, the more you're able to get revelation. The question is, why is it so? Why did Hashem create the world in such a way that revelation and concealment should be dependent on each other? Those are two opposites. Why are they dependent on each other? And the reason is because Hashem wanted that the very nature of the world should express what its ultimate purpose is. The world was created with the character, with the definition of concealment. But the real purpose of the world is so that the concealment should be turned into a revelation. And because the whole purpose of the world is in order, Bishul HaTorah, Bishul Yisrael, why do we need a world? We need a world because world concealment leads to a greater revelation. And the Eibishter wanted that the very nature of the world should bring out what its ultimate purpose is, that the concealment is really there to bring out a greater revelation. Therefore, even the nature of the world is one where the revelation comes in greater measure from concealment. Like we say, Yisrin ha'or mitaych ha'cheshech, that from darkness comes a greater revelation, a greater light. So since in the time of Golus, when the concealment is greater, and therefore it allows for a deeper sense of revelation from within the soul, that a person is able to reach Mesiras Nefesh, which it reveals the essence of the soul, and it's dafka through that kind of avoda that brings out the true nature of the world, which is that the concealment is only there for the purpose of revelation. Therefore it leads to the revelation that will take place in the time of Mashiach, that it's the concealment itself, in other words the flesh itself, which will be able to perceive the godliness that will be revealed. Because the whole purpose of it is in order to transform even the concealment, that the concealment should also be a vehicle for revealing godliness. That's the whole purpose of the concealment, that concealment should reveal a deeper sense of godliness, and therefore the eye will be able to perceive godliness, because it's even the nature of the world which has to lead to revelation. And that's the difference between the end of Tzav, which talks about the preparation for the inauguration of the base of the Mishkan, and that was done, the 7 days were what can the Kohanim on their own accomplish and how high can they reach, and that leads to the Shmini, that on the eighth day the godliness that transcends human capability descended onto the Mishkan. So it's two separate types of Avodah. This is the limited Avodah, this is the infinite Avodah from Shmini, but one led into the other. Whereas when it comes to the V'zayis HaChaya, which is under the general theme of Shmini, because V'zayis HaChaya talks about the unclean animals, the parts of creation which are removed from godliness, where there is great concealment of godliness. But a Yid recognizes that we are in that arena of ungodliness, of that tumah. When we say that we reject Chazar, it's not because I don't have any connection to Chazar at all. The Chazal tell us that a person should say, I wouldn't mind trying Chazar. In other words, I do have a connection to it, but I reject it because Hashem said to reject it. When you reject it in that way, then you are able to elevate the Chazar as well. Because if you had no connection to it at all, rejecting it wouldn't elevate it. But since we are in that arena, we are in the Helam, we live in the concealed world, and we reject it, we bring godliness to it, we elevate even the lower elements of the world. That's why the Parsha of the animals is found in Shmini, because it represents the same idea of Shmini. On the one hand, it brings down a higher level, but it has to be a continuation in the world. It has to come flow from the world itself.